continue on our 10th class on the parable of Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which is a man found and hide, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So we know this is, what number parable is this? What number parable is this? 4, 5, 6? Fifth one, right? The fifth parable. So here, for this man, right, to find his treasure in the field, of course, he must search and seek for it, right? But nowadays, for you and I, if we want to have this kind of heart, to know and understand that Jesus Christ is that treasure, then we must manifest the first ground. Quite often, the reason we don't understand how awesome our God is, because we don't understand His Word. We don't accept His Word. And we don't keep His Word. If we be able to do all these three things, for sure, we will know how awesome our God is. Quite often, when you meet a person, right? Sometimes, outwardly, you look at them, wow, this girl is pretty, or that guy is handsome. But outwardly can be very deceptive. Why? Because if you want really to know that person, you must sit down and talk to them, right? Really, it doesn't matter if you marry a beautiful wife, right? And if she, every time you talk to her, she can't even communicate with you. I'm telling you, after 1 week, you don't want to talk to her anymore, right? Because the most beautiful thing about a relationship is communication. It's communication. So in other words, someday when you find your spouse, and that spouse, your husband, your wife, be able to communicate, right, and speak to you, this is the most beautiful thing. But how would you know what your spouse is like unless you sit down and talk? So the same thing with Lord Jesus Christ. How do we truly know who our Lord Jesus Christ is if we don't read His Word? The more we read His Word, the more we can see Him. He's just like a puzzle, right? But on the end days, you and I must see Him completely and who He is. When we realize that, then for sure we will know that He is our greatest treasure that we have. So if that is the case, we must sell everything all that we have and purchase Him. Because He sold, pretty much He gave everything that He had to purchase us. And what He had was the most precious thing. That is His blood. His blood. So when He shed His blood for you and I, this means He gave all that He had to us. That is His only begotten Son. Not only they just gave Him as the glory of God, but also He came to shed His blood for you and I. So in other words, He used His best to purchase us. So you and I also must give all our best also to purchase Him in that sense. Right? So that's why when Preacher Liang talked about, you really have to give your best to our Lord, right? I also know some brothers, right? They work in the world. They also become very wealthy when they turn 60, 70, and they want to serve God. That's not your best. Your best is right now, right? Right now. Your best when you, after you graduate from college and during the time that you work and you have no, family, that is your best. So everything we do is like this. So Zacchaeus, let's go. Where's Zacchaeus? The story of Zacchaeus, what book is it in? Luke chapter 19, okay? Luke chapter 19. So yesterday we learned with one another that Jesus was only going to go through the city of Jericho. So in other words, He's not going to stay there for a long time. So if Zacchaeus did not take the opportunity to behold our Lord Jesus Christ, and then his opportunity would be gone. just like for you and I. Every time we kneel down and pray, we must take that opportunity. And then, even though he had high status, even though he was rich, but he cannot see Jesus Christ. So in other words, for you and I, it doesn't matter what kind of status we have in society. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. If our Lord Jesus Christ do not see our heart, then we can never experience him. So that's why here, he cannot see our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the crowd. Why? Because of his short stature. The crowd is always going to be his way. But the problem is not because of the crowd, because he was short of stature. Remember, and then look at verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So in other words, was the crowd still there? Did he beat up all the crowd and go see our Lord Jesus Christ? No, right? Was the crowd still there? Were they still there? Yes, they were still there. But what's the difference here in verse 4? Why did he be able to see our Lord Jesus Christ? One name, please. Vincent. Where's Vincent? Yeah, he climbed up the tree. Right? So in other words, for you and I, the crowd always going to be there, but you and I need to climb up the tree. What kind of tree are we talking about? A sycamore tree. Sycamore tree. Actually, sycamore tree, is it big? Is sycamore tree big? Yes? Where did you see sycamore tree before? You don't remember. I think Garden Grove, right? There's trees there. I think that's sycamore tree. Actually, it's not that big. Compared to other trees, it's not that big. So in other words, really, quite often when we want to experience that Lord Jesus Christ, what he wants us to do is to make an effort to see him. Right? Remember the parable of the lost son, right? When did his father see him? When did his father see him? When he's in the house already? No, when he's on his way. The Bible says he went afar off, right? Why? Because the father said he saw him afar off. The father's also ran out there to meet the son. So God is always like this. So when Zacchaeus climbed up the sycamore tree, then it says here, to see, right, our Lord Jesus Christ, and then who's first? Who see who's first? Yes, Jesus saw him first. Jesus saw him first. And when Jesus saw him, he said, hey, shorty, what are you doing over there? Did Jesus say that? No. So what did Jesus say instead? Zacchaeus. Can you imagine our Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Messiah. He's the son of David. Everyone is falling after him. And he's a tax collector, a sinner. Then Jesus called him by his name. That's quite amazing, right? It's quite amazing. So that's why when Zacchaeus heard his name, say, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So in other words, if you and I make determination to put Jesus first in our life, to make him to be the greatest treasure in our life, always going to meet us halfway. Our Lord Jesus Christ always like that. But if you and I do not make any effort at all, how can we expect our God to make effort toward us? The Bible says, return to me and I will return to you. The Bible does not say, go away from me and then I will go after you. The Bible never say that. Why? Because he wants us to show him that we also love him. We would do everything to gain him. Just like any relationship, right? One day when you get married, right? If your wife gets mad at you, right? And she ran outside the house, then you just stay and turn on the TV, watch TV, right? Then I'm sure your wife can be, you know, even more mad. You understand? When your wife run away, what you should do? Brother, what you should do? One day you marry your wife, run from away from the house. What do you do? You go after her, right? You go after her. Even if you, like in Boston, for example, right? It's all snowy outside, right? And you're in your PJs, right? And your wife run out. you run out there, even you have no shoes and stuff on, you understand, right? To make it more, what, dramatic, right? Not necessarily. You know? Actually, it happens to me before, you understand? That's why I know, right? Really. One time my wife, she was angry with me, she ran out, so I got to go run after her. I have no shoes on, I run out. I was in the snow, right? It's in the snow. But it's part of life, right? Make things more beautiful, right? So the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Sometimes, even, you know, we have no shoes on, we must run after Him, right? Why? Because sometimes we're going to feel pain. We're going to feel sorrow inside our hearts. But we must go run after Him. Just like Zacchaeus here. What? When he made this effort, our Lord Jesus Christ met him halfway. Right? Met him halfway. Sometimes when you get married, you run after your wife will even run faster, right? So she's not good. Sometimes she's not going to meet you halfway, you understand? But you go ahead and still chase after her, right? It's a good thing, right? Then look at verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So in other words, remember we said, right? Joanne, I think Sister Andrew, right? So why do you say this? You say Zacchaeus, even though he's rich, even though he have high standard society, but he still want to see a Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was empty. But now the first thing, when Jesus spoke to him, how did he feel? Why did the Bible say here? The first thing he felt was what? Sister? Oh, no. Verse 6, right? The first thing happened to him is what? When Jesus said, today I must stay at your house, and then what happened? Yes. He received him joyfully. So now what you can see, right, all of a sudden, Jesus called by his name and asked him to come to his house, then his heart was joyful. This is truly a great blessing from God. The same thing for you and I, right? When we go after our Lord Jesus Christ, when our Lord Jesus Christ want to come into our hearts, the first thing we experience is joyfulness. Actually, joyfulness is very different from happiness, right? Give me a name, please. Ryan, where's Ryan? What's the difference between happiness and joyfulness? Okay. What stimulate happiness?
Like when you receive something where it's just extra.
Okay. What about joyfulness?
Joy is when you receive something that you like actually need.
Okay. Actually, joyfulness, right? When you feel, how many of you before have feel really this sense of joyfulness, right? Raise your hands. Then how many of you before received happiness? You feel you're happy, right? So, but how do you know what's it joyful and what is not? And what is happy? Brother, what do you think? Yes, right? Actually, that's the main answer. Actually, happiness, actually, when you go do things with your buddy, right, you feel happy, right? But it's only temporary. It's not long-lasting. But joyfulness is deep down inside, right? When you feel that joyfulness, no one can take away from you. But happiness, right, just like little kids, they want some toy, you give them toy, they're happy, right? You take it away from them, they're not happy anymore. But joyfulness is not like this. When you feel joyful deep inside your heart, no matter what's going on during that time, if you're joyful, you are joyful. But it doesn't mean that you cannot be happy. Happy is also good, right? Last night we had fish. I ate fish. I was very happy. Hey, fish. It's happy, right? But it doesn't make me joyful. How do I also feel joyful. Why? Because, actually, this is such a blessing from God. We can receive such food, right? Make me joyful. But the fish make me happy. But to know who gave that fish make me joyful. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Or is it too philosophical? But either way, you're happy, you're joyful, it's good. It's always good, right? So just like Zacchaeus here, he was joyful, right? For me, they use the word joyfully, right? Why? Because it's deep down inside, he felt it, right? And then, this is our life, right? So in other words, even though, think about this, right? When you find this treasure, you sell all that you have, and you buy this treasure. So quite often you feel like, maybe you're not going to be happy, right? You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be joyful. Why? Because we seem like we're losing everything. But that's not true. You can see Zacchaeus, right? The first thing he received was joyfulness. Joyfulness you cannot buy. Well, you cannot buy. It's only a blessing from God that we can receive this kind of joyfulness. And then, verse 7. Let's go to verse 8, right? Verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor." What does this mean? I give half my goods to the poor. Next question. Next person. Jessica. Where's Jessica? Jessica. What does that mean? I give half my goods to the poor. How much money do you have now, sister? You have money on you? No. Where'd you put your money? In that room? Well, thanks. I'll go later. Right now, how much money do you think you have? Oh, yeah, in the room. How much? 20. Can you give me 10? Actually, if you have only $20, it's very easy to give $10, right? If you were Tiger Woods, right? Your Tiger Woods, when his wife left, right? How much did she give his wife? Huh? Much more than that. Yeah. $600 million, right? $600 million. So Tiger Woods, maybe he worth $1 billion, right? And what happened if, imagine if Zacchaeus has $1 billion, he give half to the poor. That would be very, very difficult. I think Bill Gates worth 27 billion now, right? Or 46 billion, something like that. I don't know the exact number. But give half to the poor. Very difficult. If I have 10 cents, I give you 5 cents. You know, I wouldn't even blink to give you 5 cents, right? But nobody even have 10 cents anymore, right, in their pocket. You can't do nothing with it anymore, right? So he say, I give, remember, he's rich. He give half, right, of his goods to the poor. So, sister, what's that mean? What's that mean, give half good to the poor? What's that mean about Zacchaeus? Okay, so but what's that mean? What's that mean, give half my good to the poor? You ever go feed the homeless before, sister? No, you ever give homeless money before? Yeah? How do you feel after you gave the homeless the money? You feel happy? Okay. So, why do you give it to the poor? Why do you give it to the homeless? Why? To help them? Is that it? Is that it? Yeah, okay. Okay. Give me another name, please. Thank you. Nathan, what's Nathan? Why? Why would Zacchaeus give half his good to the poor? Why? What's that mean about his character? Okay, well, what's that mean? What's that mean? He wants to help those in need. What's that mean? Okay, he's generous. Okay. Any brothers? Can you say what's that mean? Yes? Okay. He has a good heart. He wants to serve God. It's true. All these things you guys say in the category of love. Right? Love. If you have no love, no way you can give your stuff away. You understand, right? Maybe nowadays because of tax reason they give stuff away. But back then he's a tax collector. Or maybe he could not write it off, right? I don't know, but But no, back then maybe it's no such thing as like that. But for you to give something, half of what you have, this means you must be full of love, right? Remember Pastor Liang, right? She had the testimony about that worker, right? He had to get 2 pieces of chicken, right? And he ate only 1 chicken. For me, I've been to Africa, I know. When you are that hungry, oh man, there's no way I can keep the 2nd piece of chicken for my fellow worker. There's no way. Right? Why? Because when you eat that chicken, especially you don't have it for a long time and you never had it, right? It can taste so good. Right? Then when you look at the 2nd piece, it's gone already. It's gone already, right? So that's why for that worker to be able to keep half of his share, right, to his fellow worker, this is love. This is love. This is love. So that's why for him. So in other words, if you and I sell everything and buy this treasure, everything is in treasure. Actually, this treasure is what? That we live a life, a joyful life. Really? God is the source of joy. And God is the source of love. And it's a treasure that no one else can buy with money. But you and I can. In the sense that everything, this means everything that we have in life, we sell it. Why? To get treasure. The treasure, what? That we live life full of joy. We live life full of love. Then, next one. And I have taken, if I have taken from anyone by false accusation, I still fall. What does this mean? Father, can you give me another name, please? Kelvin. Okay, so what does that mean, the payback?
Showing that he has, he's willing to give up everything for Jesus. And like,
okay, what you guys saying is right. It's not wrong. But focus on the question at hand, right? Or the statement at hand. He said, If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will still fourfold. So what does that mean? What kind of person is he if he's willing to do that? Okay, a loving person. Of course, yeah, he's a loving person. What else? Yes, truly repented, right? Because, hey, if he's, can you imagine? I don't know. We have no idea how many years he's been tax collector, right? So he's saying that if he had fought, so anyone just comes, hey, you took from me extra $10. Then he's like, okay, I have to give it back, right? Then people can just lie. You understand? When you make this kind of statement, everybody and their mothers will come and try to get your money from you, right? And say that, oh, you took it from me with false accusation, right? But for him, it doesn't matter. So in other words, if he give half his profit to the poor and we pay fourfold to those who have taken it, you know, falsely, then on the end, he sold everything that he had, right? That's the conclusion. He sold everything that he had, what? To buy that field. And that field is what? That peace and joy. That field is love. And that field is a life of holiness. So in other words, everything that he have done wrong, he want to repent from that and stop doing it. So the same thing tonight. To sell everything that we have, even though it seems like we lose everything, but no, we will gain everything. And the thing that we gain, the treasure we gain, that no one else can buy with money, that is the joy that we have inside our heart, that is the love that's inside of us, and that is the life of righteousness and holiness that we're going to live when we buy this treasure. And that's why, look at this, right? And look what our Lord Jesus Christ said, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Right? Son of Abraham. So what does this mean? He's a son of Abraham. What does this mean? You know, when John the Baptist, right, rebuked the Pharisees, right, and he told them in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, right, Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, This is what John the Baptist told them. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So here, he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right, when they come to observe him baptizing people. And he said, do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as a father. But Jesus said to him here, that today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? What does that mean? A name, please. Ryan. This one. Oh, again. We just call, pick on you just now, right? What do you think? No, Abraham. What does that mean? Okay, a righteous person. Okay, okay. Next name, please. Jeremy. Where's Jeremy? Oh. Abraham. When we talk about Father Abraham, right? That song you guys sing for a long time when you see that. Abraham, who is Abraham? Huh? He's a father of faith, right? Where can we find in the Bible? Those who are sons, those who have faith, right? They are sons of Abraham. Where can we find that? It's in the New Testament. And one of Paul's writing. And it begins with the letter G. What book is it? Huh? Yes, Galatians. Yes, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So, in other words, don't think, for those of us who want to make determination to sell everything that we have to buy this treasure, we must have great faith. Just like Zacchaeus. Even though he's rich, even though he has a high standard in society, but because of his faith, he sought to see a Lord Jesus Christ. And even though the crowd was in his way, even though he was short of stature, because of his faith, he ran ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree. And when Jesus saw him and said, today I must dine at your house, then because of his faith, he accepted the invitation. And because of his faith, he's willing to give half his goods to the poor. Because of his faith, he's willing to repay fourfold to those who have done wrong. So in other words, you and I, to sell everything that we have, we must have great faith. If we don't have faith, why? Because the thing that we have now, we can see with our eyes. But the thing that God wants to give us, you know, that treasure, that change, we cannot see it. For example, right? Every job that you work at, you work, you get paid, right? Can you imagine you go to get a job for an interview, right? That person say, I'll give you $1 million a year, right? But I'll give to you when you die, right? So but right now you work for me, right? But I will give you $1 million a year. Would you work that kind of job? No one would work that kind of job. Who would? So actually, that's what God is saying to us, right? You serve me now, and then on the end days, I will give you eternal life. On the end days, I will give you the crown of righteousness. If we don't have faith, how can we serve God like this? There's no way, right? There's no way. No one in their right mind would work for someone or do something for someone, and the promise is after, right? Only with God. Why? Because of our faith. Why? Because of our faith. Because faith, what? Is the eyeglasses, the spiritual eyeglasses, to see things that no one else can see. Yes, even though with the physical eyes, we cannot see the reward every time we serve God. But with a spiritual eyesight, we can see that God is rewarding us. Because every time we do something for God, a reward is stored in heaven. But the minute we don't have the spiritual eyesight, we cannot see, then there's a time, hey, why sell everything that I have to give to a, no, to buy and to gain our Lord Jesus Christ? And who is this? What person would not did not see and did not have the faith to sell all that they have? All our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this? Remember? Yes, the young guy. The young guy. Who guy? What guy?
He was like super rich.
He's super rich. Yeah. Okay. So the young rich man, right, brother? The young rich man. Let's go to the book of Mark. So the sixth parable is what? The parable of the great pearl, right? And for this person to gain the great pearl, they must do what? Huh? The sixth one, you guys have been studying for the last 9 days already, right? The parables, 13, right? So for the young, for the person who found this great pearl, what must he do? What must he do? Huh? Sell? Yes. Yeah, he also needs to sell, right? I'll read to you. You don't need to turn there. You can stay in Mark. But in Matthew 13:45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold it all that he had and bought it, right? So how many of you know anything about pearls? Brothers, you know, brothers probably don't know, right? Sisters, you know anything about pearls? What are the most beautiful pearls? The most expensive pearls, where are they from? Huh? Where? Hawaii? Anybody wear pearls here? No? You guys don't wear pearls? That's good, huh? You guys don't like to adorn yourself outwardly. That's good, right? Pearls, right? Actually, the reason I know about pearls is because I have a wife, right? So because then, you know, I want to buy her something, right? So pearl from Tahiti, right? A very expensive. And why the pearl from Tahiti so expensive? Because if you look at the pearl, the coloring is always very consistent, right? Dark green, dark black, right? So the pearl is not so expensive. The color is not consistent, right? Lighter here, lighter there, right? So when you look at it, it's not too nice, right? So quite often, actually, there's many different kinds of pearls out there. So if you and I are not expert, or we're not merchants of buying and selling pearls, there's no way you can know which one is fake or not, right? Maybe some, you know, if the pearl is like fluorescent yellow, then you can tell, oh, that's fake, right? But it's not always like that. So in other words, nowadays you can see there's so many doctrines, right, in the world. How do you know which one are truly the beautiful pearl? How do you know? You must read the Bible to know. What is the true pearl that we are looking for? The same thing for me. I know nothing about diamonds, right? Really, diamonds, if they show me a fake diamond, a real diamond, I wouldn't be able to tell which one is which, right? But those who deal with diamond, they can see it very clearly, right? They just hold it, right? They can tell, oh, this is fake. Why? Because the weight, right? They can just look at it with their physical eyes. They don't need to, you know, look at the special glass or whatever, right? They can tell, oh, this is fake, right? But for you and I, there's no way. But yes, those kind of stuff, you don't need to be an expert, you know, right? With diamonds, with pearl, but you must be an expert in the Word of God. You must. If you're dumb, then you do not know which pearl is more precious than others. So because of this, every time you go somewhere, you see a pearl here, you see a pearl there, and then you feel, oh, this is good. Let me sell everything and buy this pearl. Are you going to take that chance? No, you're not. So right now, the problem is that you and I do not see how wonderful the pearls that we have in our church. That's the problem. If we know this pearl worth more than anything in life, then it's so easy to sell all that we have and buy this pearl. Why not? Why not? But we must be an expert. An expert. maybe other people to look at this pillow, it's junk, he's throw it away, right? Just like, you know, that's why, you know, the Bible says, do not throw the pearl to what? To the dog, right? Or to what? Yeah, the bread. It's to something else, not animal. Swine, right? To the pigs. Why? Why the Bible says, do not throw pearls to the swine, right? Why? Yeah, they trample. Why they trample upon it? Yes, because they don't know, right? You think the swine would know, oh, this pearl is from Tahiti. Let me keep it. Of course, they wouldn't know, right? They wouldn't know. So they just trample into. So quite often, when we preach the gospel, it's like this. We try to share the true doctrine with people. They just trample it, right? They just think, well, you know, you're Asian, right? It's like this. But for you and I, we should know. Why? Because we have the Spirit inside of us. When we look at the Word of God, when we look at a doctrine, this is the most beautiful pearl. So because of this, we sell everything that we have. I mean, we're saying that everything, including your mother, including your father. Right? What do I mean by that, right? What, can you give me another name, please? Jackie. What does it mean? You also must sell your mother and your father. And if you have children, you sell your children too to buy this. Okay, rely on God, okay? So let's go to Matthew, right? Let's go to Matthew first. Keep your book Mark and Mark chapter 10. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 35, right? Verse 35. I mean, let's read verse 36. 37, sorry. Matthew 10:37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves sons or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So here. In other words, if you really want to obtain our Lord Jesus Christ, this great pearl, this great treasure, we must sell even our parents. What does that mean, sell our parents? So one day, right? I don't know if you heard the testimony of a sister, right? A sister, she came to know Jesus Christ, but her parents, they worship idols. And then, you know, she was sneaking around, right? Because her parents did not want her to worship Jesus. So one day her parents found out, especially her dad. He was furious. He was so upset, he was so mad. So he took her in front of the altar, right? In front of the idol. He asked her to kneel down and worship the idol. What did she do? What do you think she do? What would you do, sister? Not do it, right? And then the father said, if you don't do it, and they took a shotgun out. And put it in her head. Right? And say, if you don't do it, I'm going to shoot you in the head. That's what the father said to his daughter. What would you do? Hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord, you can get shot in the head. No. Yeah, God help you, right? Actually, thank God. That's the attitude we should have. So she said, no. If you want to kill me, you go ahead and kill me. I'm not going to bow down to worship idols. She was only 16, 17 back then. A young sister. But thank God, of course, her father realized, wow, right? For Jesus, he's willing to die. Of course, he didn't shoot her, right? But she said he was angry enough, right, to shoot her. But you can see, right? Just like when I came to GJC, right? My adopted parents, my mother, because she's a hardcore Greek Orthodox, right? And she said to me, the day you baptize and choose your church, you're no longer my son. It's very difficult for me, right? But I have to do what is right. So when I got baptized and choose your church, for sure my mother did not call me at all, right? Because our family always have pasta Sunday, right? Every Sunday I go to her house, right, to eat pasta, right? So every week I call, can I come over? She's like, nope. Can I come over? Nope. Can I come over? Nope. Can I come over? Nope. Right? For a whole year. And finally, praise and thank God, 1 year later, I call her, can I come over? And she say, okay. So thank God, right? So I went there that Sunday for pasta, and that's the time my adopted father began to get sick. Then because he was sick, and then, you know, they need a place to stay, so they move into a house. He got baptized. He is saved, and then he passed away, right? It's all God planning, right? about God planning. But what happens if I say, okay, if I'm no longer your son, then I won't get baptized? Then actually, I would never be saved. Second, my father, right now, he'd be in Hades right now. Right? So in other words, sell everything that we have. If one day your parents said, look, you make an extra $40,000 if you work on Saturday. Work for a while. Just work for a year so you can make extra money, right, to pay your college tuition. What are you going to say, bro? What are you going to say? No. Because we know that it's wrong, right? We know that it's wrong. This means the $40,000 is that's not worth our faith, right? It's not worth it. So, but we always have the eyesight to see this, right? The same thing, right? One day when a beautiful girl, all right, come and try to tempt you, right? And what are you going to think? You cast her out, right? The more beautiful they are, the more you should cast it out. You understand? I mean, cast everyone out, I'm saying, but, you know? Because the thing is, don't use also, oh, I want to bring them to church, right? This and that. Right? You have to be very, very careful. Like I said, that's an assassin come to assassinate you, right? So be very careful. So what we're saying that right now, we focus and what the you know what we should do for God, right? And everything else around us, we should sell it. Get rid of it. And only then that we truly can gain this great treasure and gain this great pearl. But the young rich ruler, right? The young rich ruler. First he's young, but he was a ruler. First he's young, but he was rich. So he's quite unique by his character. He's quite unique. But did our Lord Jesus Christ love him? Yes. The Bible said Jesus loved him, just like he loved you and I nowadays. But it doesn't mean that because of his love, you and I will enter the heavenly kingdom, will enter eternal life. Really? So quite often we say, oh, we're in TJC, so because of this, we, by default, enter the eternal life. No, it's not true. Why do we say this? Because tomorrow we'll study. We compare ourselves with this young rich ruler. Why? Because if you and I are not willing to sell everything that we have, it doesn't matter how much Jesus loves us, we cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. Why? Because you and I must be able to meet him at least halfway. Make determination. That's why I told my wife, I say, honey, if one day you find a guy who loves you more than me, then you want to leave with him. For me, it's fine. I'm just saying that, right? Since I have known her, this is what I told her. Why? Because if I'm not the best person for you, and you find someone else to love you more than me, then for me, this means I don't love you enough, right? I don't love you enough. And in a relationship with God, it's also like this. You and I must give our best to him. That means we must love him with our totality. That means we sell everything that we have, including our family, including our career, including our school, so we can gain him. But if we don't, we're never going to gain him. Because why? Because this great treasure, this great pearl, it comes with a price. And the price is ourself. The price ourself. So we praise and thank God. And study Mark chapter 10, right? Please study Mark chapter 10. So for tomorrow, Mark chapter 10. And also study Matthew chapter 25, but the pair of the goat and the sheep. Okay? We don't just read it, study it, right? So you and I can, we can go through together. Now let's kneel down and pray and give thanks to God. Let's pray together.